Today in the studio, we have a man who is no stranger to this campus. He's a singer, songwriter, pianist, and he's a graduate from WMU. This is Johnny Rogers. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you for having me, Keith.
It's awesome to have you back on campus, and I'm eager to hear about all your travels since you graduated from here. But before we get to too much talking, why don't we start with some music?
Absolutely. This is a song called Home to Mendocino. Now, Mendocino, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a beautiful town in California. And, you know, I always judge a town by the quality of its wine.
Nice.
So this song is called Home to Mendocino. And Mendocino, more than a town, is in this song kind of represents a state of mind and that sense of coming home.
I got my ear against the track and I can hear that train humming. The smoke is rising from the stack, I'm gonna climb aboard and ride. And when I meet that misty morning mountain air, the sun will rise and I will feel it shine. I spent the weekend earning money for my fare, I'm gonna ride it down the line. Cause I'm coming home, home to Mendocino. Got my guitar strapped to my back and I can feel my fingers strumming. The colors fade from blue to black across a sky so dark and wide. But when I'm buried in your golden blossom hair, the sun will rise and I will feel it shine. I may not have much, but I've got love enough to share. And I'm coming back to make you mine. Cause I'm coming home, home to Mendocino. This old guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are. I've wandered far for far too long. I thought I'd find a love more true, but now I know that I was wrong. And now I know what I should do. I'm coming home to you, coming home, home to Mendocino. This old guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are. Mendocino, this old guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are.
Yeah, Johnny.
Thank you, Keith.
Man, that was great. You really brought the energy here this morning, didn't you?
Well, you know, it's early morning, but I gotta come out swinging.
Well, you did. Swinging for the fences. Oh, man, that's great. So you spent some time in Mendocino, I'm assuming?
Do you know what's funny about this song is that I did eventually go to Mendocino. And I swore I would never tell the story about this song. But the truth of the matter is, and it's a gorgeous place. I went there for a week, and it was just beautiful, you know. But when I wrote the song, I actually got the name off of a bottle of body wash. It said "Made in Mendocino, California," and I said, "Wow, Mendocino—that's that just rolls off the tongue."
Yeah.
And so I took my shower, and by the time I was clean, the song was written.
Now that's a great commercial for the soap.
There you go.
Wow. And then you eventually went there, though.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, I went there on my first honeymoon.
Oh, nice. And they have good wine, you said.
They do have good wine.
Oh, what a great tune. So we're writing songs about California, but you're from Florida.
Right.
Right, from Miami. So tell us how you got started in the music business.
Well, it's funny. I came out of the womb singing, you know, and I've been singing since I was knee-high to a man. And I was very blessed because my grandmother was very much into music. She would play the piano with one finger by ear. You know, she'd just pluck out melodies. And
wow.
She always wanted to be Ziegfeld Follies girl. But I don't think my grandfather much appreciated that. So so she never got to really follow her dream. Also lucky because I have a really supportive family. And my sister was the one, she's 10 years older than me, and she was the one that wanted to play piano in my house. And apparently, before I was born or when I was just a little kid, what she would do is she'd take a piece of cardboard and she would draw piano keys on it, and she'd sit at the kitchen table and play that piece of cardboard.
Wow.
You know, kind of tugging at my parents' heartstrings until they finally got a really nice upright piano, and I was blessed to have it in the house when I grew up, you know, I was growing up. And my brother, you know, he was a basketball player, so he had these incredibly long fingers, like probably twice as long as mine, and, you know, he could palm a basketball. And he started piano, and he went more the sports route. And turns out, you know, stubby fingers McKay over here ended up taking piano, and you know, it really became something that stuck with me and became a major outlet for me.
Wow.
So I was a terrible student. My teachers were you know, at that young age, you know, always asking me to practice my Mendelssohn and my Bach, and I would come in with the Root Beer Rag by Billy Joel. So, you know, we got a barter agreement going. If you do this, then you can bring in Root Beer Rag.
Uh-huh.
And I was very lucky because there are terrific schools. I think they're still there in Miami. I went to a junior high for the arts, Southwood Junior High, South Center for the Arts, studying musical theater. And then I went on to go to New World School of the Arts, which is downtown, and they're connected with Miami-Dade Community College in downtown Miami. And it was a pretty rigorous musical theater program there as well.
So how did you land in Kalamazoo at Western Michigan University?
Well, I took an interesting route as far as my education was concerned in that after high school, in that I went to 4 colleges in 6 years.
You're getting ready for the touring life.
Exactly. Yeah. I started at Florida State University in their musical theater department. I transferred down to Miami-Dade Community College. I decided I didn't want to pursue that musical theater training anymore, because I had gotten so much in junior high and high school, and they were so good about, you know, what they taught us and the degree to which they taught us, that, you know, I felt that it was time to focus on something else. And it was my mother that said, you know, I know you like Billy Joel and Elton John and James Taylor and Paul Simon, but why don't you try, you know, an audition for the University of Miami's jazz program. And I did. And I had recently fallen in love with the music of Mel Torme. He became a major hero of mine. And you know, always loved Michael Franks as well. And so I went to University of Miami, and I was having a great time. And I was actually studying under Greg Jaspers, who now directs Gold Company. And it might have been Greg who told me about this program at Duke University called the Brightleaf Music Scholarship. And it, basically it was, I think, 8 to 10 young men and women in college who would come for the summer to Duke University and do a 2 or 3 week intensive. And the man who was the head of that program was Dr. Steve Zagre. And I met him, and I talked to him about Western, and we discussed the possibility of me moving up to Kalamazoo. And I thought it was a great idea because, you know, Miami, you tend to get a little lax. You know, you want to go to the beach or something instead of going to the practice room. And, well, here there's no problem because, you know, as we were saying, you know, our fingers were freezing while we were texting each other this morning. And so that kind of runs you into the practice room, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I loved the Gold Company program, which I was very blessed to be a part of for 3 years. Those were three of the most formative years of my education, and certainly many thanks to Greg Jaspers for his training that he gave me at University of Miami, and to Dr. Steve Zagre, who really helped shape me as an individual and as a performer. So this next song was written, co-written with my producer in New York, Richard Barone. And we were sitting in the studio while we were mixing another song for a different album. And we were thinking about, it was Father's Day coming up. And we were thinking about our fathers. And we were thinking about our parents. And we were in the control room while they were, you know, finishing up some cleanup on Pro Tools in the studio. And we started writing this song. And it started, you know, from the very beginning. You never know how a song is going to take shape. You know, I always kind of describe it like an archaeology project. You dust away a little chunk of what, you don't even know what part of the song it is. Maybe it's part of the verse or the chorus. This one kind of started from the very beginning, from the first opening line. And it kind of reflects my feelings toward all of those people who had a huge influence on shaping the man that, you know, I hope to become one day. You know, even now, it's an everlasting process. You know, you can get ever closer to your goals and your dreams, but as you are doing that, you're living your life. So life is moving forward. And you're getting closer and closer to those dreams and goals, yet those dreams and goals are constantly changing. So, you know, it's kind of ironic, but it's like music in that you can pursue it for your whole life and get better and better, but you're never going to achieve perfection because there's always further to go. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And that's the beautiful thing about those guiding figures in our lives. So this is called The Best of You and Me. Dr. Zagre actually did a choral arrangement for this song for Hal Leonard, and it's, you know, it's a lovely sentiment at you know, events like graduation and such. And so, you know, today this goes out to my parents and to Steve. Every slip, every fall, every catch of every baseball, every time I needed someone looking over my shoulder, every tear, every trial,
ever since I was a child. You were with me all the while, even as I got older. I see the best of you in me. Is that your smile in the mirror? Your voice in every song I sing, in every little thing I see, the best of you in me. Every spring, every fall, every last long distance phone call, every time I needed answers that were honest and true, you were my education. Every single situation, each and every graduation, I'd look out and see you. I see the best of you in me. Is that your smile in the mirror? Your voice in every song I sing, in every little thing I see, the best of you in me. Time marches on through everything. Tomorrow becomes yesterday. It's hard to hold on to anything, but all that you taught me is only a memory away. Every slip, every fall, every pitch of every baseball, anytime they need someone there to be honest and true, every tear, every trial, every step of every mile, I'll be with them all the while, thinking, what would you do? 'Cause I see the best of you in me. Is that your smile in the mirror? Your voice in every song I sing, in every little thing I see, the best of you in me. Song I sing, in every little thing I see, the best of you in me, the best of you.
Man, what a beautiful tune. Thank you, man. I remember hearing that a few years ago, and it really touched me. I'll never forget that. And I'm kind of a sucker for tunes like that anyways, you know. But, man, it's hard not to think about, you know, my parents, who were very supportive. They still are. And those important mentors, you know, like Dr. Zagree and our other teachers.
Yeah.
Man, it's important to show appreciation.
Like, you know, it's funny, we were talking about music, and I have this tattoo on my right arm, and it's an asymptote, which is a mathematical equation. And there's this single line, and then around it are these circles that get smaller and smaller as you get towards the end of the line. But as they both tend toward infinity, they never actually touch.
Mm.
And I think when you meet people like that, you know, gratitude is the best attitude. You know, I'm just blown away by what the love and the caring that my parents and people like Doctors Agree showed me, and it makes you want to be that person for somebody else. Yeah. So on my left arm, soon to come, is the universal symbol of gratitude, because I think it's very important to remain grateful even in the face of adversity. You know, a lot of things in this world will throw curveballs at you, not to, you know, pun intended with the baseball reference right. in the song, but, you know, as long as you are grateful for what you have, because there's always somebody in the world who wishes they were in your situation. You know, they're not so lucky. And I think it's our responsibility to try and bring that kind of support and joy into other people's lives, as has been done to you.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about people around the world and bringing this joy. You've spent a lot of time traveling, representing the United States.
I'd
love to hear about that.
My New York band, the Johnny Rogers Band, spent a lot of time thinking about that title.
Clever.
We were chosen to represent the United States Department of State and travel around the world. I think we did it for six, maybe seven, probably, I think 6 years. And we were so lucky to see places we never thought we would get to see. We went to Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands, the Middle East, Egypt. You know, we were actually in a hotel and there was a riot behind the hotel. You know, we've seen these countries in great turmoil. We got to go to Petra and Angkor Wat in Cambodia, one of the most magical places I think I've been. Russia, Belarus, and many thanks to all the embassies around the world, the U.S. embassies around the world who had us come in. And you know, what we found was that music does indeed make a difference. Music, it's funny, I was listening to NPR the other day, and there was a conductor on there, and he said that he had read a quote by Mendelssohn. And the quote was, "Music is a much more precise language than words." And I think that that's absolutely true, in that music, I mean, you watch a film and you take away the music, you know, you lose a certain amount of emotion. And I think what music does, it kind of opens up those emotional, all of your emotional pores and allows you to be transformed. I mean, you know, transformed in the moment, both in the moment and upon reflection as a person. For you know, for instance, the power of music. We were in Cambodia, and we were on a tour, and we were coming upon this big group of musicians, and they were playing. It must have been 30, 35 people playing. And they were playing with such verve and enthusiasm and joy. And when we got up there, we realized that they were a band of landmine victims from landmines in Vietnam. They were all missing a limb or had some kind of major issue with their bodies, and had learned to play their instruments in other ways. And yet they still were there with this positive message and this positive energy. And it was just, I mean, it blew me away. Just blew me away. And that's the power of music, really. I mean, it can speak so, so powerfully.
Wow.
So with that in mind, I would like to I'd like to share a song. You know, the first one of the first ambassadors of American music was a trumpet player from New Orleans, and I think everybody knows who I'm talking about, Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, and those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But there's a song of his that I think is important to keep in mind in that spirit of gratitude and positivity. And it was a big hit for him in the 1960s. And so this is it.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world.
Yeah, man. What a beautiful reharmonization.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man. There's some twists and turns in there I wasn't expecting.
Thank you so much.
But you really did some nice stuff with that. Wow. Tell us about the band. I know that I used to work with one of the guys in your band, Brian, when I lived in New York.
Oh, Brian Glassman, yes. Yeah, Brian Glassman, he was actually the first member of the band.
Uh-huh.
When I got to New York, I went to a concert, and Margaret Whiting was doing a show. Great singer, you know. She passed some time ago, but she was a major American songstress, and another great influence on me in my life. I got to study with her for a while, and he was playing bass, and I said, "Hey, man, I have a show coming up in a couple months. And it's my first show in New York. Will you play bass?" And he said, "Will you cover my parking?" And I knew right then, you know, oh, this guy's a bass player.
Yeah. Right,
no, I'm just kidding. He's a really great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He, of course, signed on, and he's so incredibly versatile. You know, he plays both electric and upright. He plays upright mostly in the Johnny Rogers Band. Then I went to a studio. I saw a young man recording the percussion, and he had a stick in his sandal, which he was playing woodblocks with, a shaker strapped to his other sandal with rubber bands. It wasn't like an egg shaker. It was like one of those, like a kashishi, I think.
Yeah.
And so he had an egg in his right hand, and in his left hand, he had something else. I don't even know what it was, but he had all four going at the same time, and it was amazing. I said, "That's the guy." So he came on. He's a great kit player as well. So Danny Mallon, he plays drums and sings. And the guitar player, who had known Danny for many years, over a decade, said I should meet him. And that's Joe Ravo. And he's amazing as well. And he actually is now touring with us on the shows that I'm currently touring with, Live in Central Park Revisited, Simon and Garfunkel, I know, you know, this is going to air at a later time, but, you know, you will be playing on, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, me too.
And another show called In Perfect Harmony. Joe is on that. We do live at Madison Square Garden, Elton John with special guest John Lennon from 1974, and he's on that as well. We get to come together as a band and do recording projects and travel as well. So they also great influences. You know, I was lucky to work with one of the greatest entertainers of all time for many years, and had the best seat in the house at the piano, and that was Liza Minnelli. And Liza taught me, first of all, she taught me always give 110%. I mean, no matter if it's whatever ungodly hour of the morning this is that I'm trying to sing, or whether you're, you know, whether you're playing to 3 or 3,000, it's always a Super Bowl halftime show. But another very important lesson that she taught me is always surround yourself with people who are better than you, because that way you learn every single day.
That's wisdom right there.
Sage advice I have found.
So I'd love to hear more about working with Liza. I mean, how did that start? How did you connect with Liza Minnelli?
You know, when I was in Chicago, I moved from Chicago to Chicago from Western.
Okay.
I was playing in a piano bar there. And it's funny, you know, I had a hard time kind of figuring out what to do when I got to Chicago, how to get started. And it was my sister who said, "Well, just pick up the local free paper and look in ads." And I found an ad saying, you know, entertainer, singer, pianist wanted for this, you know, piano bar on Milwaukee Avenue. And the name of the place was Davenport's.
And you still play there, don't you?
You know what? Occasionally I do. It was my home for many years when I was living in Chicago. And when I moved back to Chicago, I lived in New York for geez, I guess 18 years right in the city. I was playing in Davenport's in Chicago, and a lot of New York entertainers would come through. And I remember one night, two gentlemen, Billy Stritch and Jim Caruso, came through.
Right.
And after their show, they hung out, and they hung out, and they listened, and Jim Caruso, apparently Billy wasn't available for some dates, and he asked me if I would play his show for him in New York. And that was always kind of where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to find a way to get to Broadway. I wanted those were my desires, my goals, a couple of my goals at that time in my life. And so, you know, I moved up to New York. I slept on my buddy's sofa for way too long, as you do, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a great friend, Brian Wilson. Not that Brian Wilson. This one's even better. One of my best friends, who I met through summer gigs and who I'd met at Florida State, and we'd done some summer gigs together, and he was living in New York. And he hosted me, basically. And I got to play Jim's show, and through that I also went to a cabaret symposium where I met a lot of New York figures, and kind of got my foot in the door in New York. So, you know, I do remember being in New York and having, you know, a few tearful conversations, you know, about how to try to make this thing work, you know, because this is not a business that does you any favors necessarily. Like I said, gratitude is the best attitude. When you get the opportunity, when you get lucky, you take advantage of that opportunity and you go for it full force. And so Jim and Liza were very good friends, and he brought me to an event. She was recording tracks, I think, she had come to a show. I'd met her, and she came with Lily Tomlin. That was awesome. Wow. So that was fun. I mean, if we had time to just talk about the people I've gotten to meet just through Liza, it's so funny and so fun, you know,
I'm
just
sure.
People that you never think. But everybody loves Liza, you know, because she is who she is. She's an amazing person. She's every bit as funny as you would expect and as down to earth as you could ever expect anybody to be. And so very generous. And there was a moment where there was nobody at the piano. So I took a seat and played. And she said, why don't you come over to my apartment tomorrow? And I said, okay. She goes, I want to try a few musical things with you. And so I went to the apartment, and one of her trumpet players, Russ Konnikoff, was there. And she had me play through some of her repertoire with Russ and her at the piano. And after a few tunes, she said, you know what? I'm going to take you all over the world, baby.
Wow.
And I said, okay. Because there was that moment of opportunity. And I ended up playing piano for her for the next, I want to say, 12 years.
Wow.
And she'd allow me, she's so generous, she would let me do a couple of songs, you know, during her show. From there, it came a point in time where she was studying dance with Luigi, who has since passed. But Luigi was this, you know, a legendary dance instructor in New York City, and she went to class with him. And I said, you know what? I used to dance. You know, I studied musical theater in junior high and in high school. And, you know, my first year of college, which wasn't much to speak about, but I would love to get back into it. And so I went to a dance class or two with her, and she said, you know what, honey? I had no idea you can do this. From now on, you're doing this. So she put together a show based on Kay Thompson, her godmother. And Kay Thompson was a wonderful film arranger, one of the only female film arrangers of that MGM era. You know, it was really a boys' club, and Kate Thompson was a really strong, powerful woman and a great talent, and she was so unique and in the way that she thought and. So interesting in the choices that she made as far as arranging is concerned. But she also had a club act that she did with Andy Williams and his brothers. There were four of them. And so we kind of recreated that act. It was directed by Ron Lewis and choreographed. And she brought me on to be one of the Williams brothers. So I only got to play piano for about a minute and a half in the show at that point. And Billy was back, and Billy's great. You know, he's yeah. playing for Tony Bennett now, and he's been a big influence on me as well. But I just fell right back into the dance. I loved it. I got in the best shape of my life. I was having a great time. We were touring everywhere. You know, Taormina. You know, Sicily. We went. I mean, anywhere you can think of in the world, she brought this tour. And it was me, Jim Caruso, Tiger Martina. Clark Thurrell was in it for a while until he left for other opportunities. Also, Cortez Alexander. And so the four of us traveled around and did the show with her. And sure enough, you know, I said that I at that point in my life, I had always wanted to find a way to go to Broadway. Well, apparently, somehow, Liza made the decision that she was going to take the show to Broadway. So I got to be in a Broadway show, and it was like another one of my dreams coming true, you know, thanks to Liza. And she brought so many of my dreams to life. And you know, the show later won a Tony Award, which was, you know, icing on the cake. It was just a beautiful experience, one that I will never forget, and one that I'm truly, truly grateful for.
We weren't just in a Broadway show. You were in Liza Minnelli's Broadway show. That's amazing, man.
It was a blast. I will never, ever forget it. That is for sure.
I mean, what were you going through, and what was going through your mind on tour when you're just all over the world and you're on stage, you're dancing, singing with Liza Minnelli? I mean,
there's definitely a high there. You know what I mean? There's definitely, you know, you're riding high. You're feeling good. You know, I was in my youth still. I consider that my extended youth. I probably didn't appreciate it as much as I should have at the time. But to be honest, I hope and pray and think that I've grown a lot since then. And I look back on it and just with the most sincere gratitude to everybody that was involved with that show, especially Liza, but certainly the other fellows as well, Jim Caruso, Cortez Alexander, Tiger Martina, Clark Thurrell, Brian Lynn Green, people that came through, and her incredible band, who I got to play with for many years, including Bill Pappy Lavogna, who played for Judy Garland and for Liza for many years. And he was another, you know, again, formative influence on my life and my musical career and my path as a human being. Mm. So when I was with Liza, this was one of the songs that she would let me perform in her show. It's kind of a tip of the hat to my favorite singers, songwriters, and performers of the past. I had written it, well, actually, when I was here at Western. And when Billy Hart came in to do a masterclass, I got a private session with him. And I played this song for him. And he said, you know what you should do, man? You should go to New York, and you should be playing at, like, private parties. I'm getting this kind of, like, Nat King Cole Trio vibe from you. And I think that, you know, you would do very well with that. And you know, he's a wonderful man, just a really positive energy. Talk about positive energy. Yeah. He has it. And so this is a tribute to my favorite performers of the past, and a tip of the hat to Mr. Billy Hart, too.
Jack Frost gone and stolen all the flowers I would bring you. Ella doesn't know the lovely melodies I'd sing you. Satchmo couldn't even blow the love songs I would swing you. So I'm challenging you to take another chance on love. Prayers could not leap in and phrase the praises I would throw you. Hammerstein can't find the joy of getting to know you. The Lord knows that up in heaven, pretty pennies flow. You still far surpass their glow. You should take another chance on love. I can't fight this feeling. Makes me feel like stealing cliches like dancing on the ceiling, tap dancing upside down above. I'm going down in glory, such a tragic story. But guess what, baby, that's amore. I've got my knick-knack back for love. Yeah, that crazy rhythm in a dance with Ginger and Fred gets my heart tapping with them, or maybe Gene Kelly instead. How I love the way you walk, you whisper and you look. Darling, if they asked me, I could surely write a book. Girl, you got me dizzy, stole my love just like a crook. Now give back that love you took. Time to take another chance on love. Take another chance on love.
Take another chance on love. Whoa. Oh, man, I wanted to have my brushes out and play along with you.
I was hoping that when I came here today.
That was swinging, man.
Thank you.
I see why Billy Hart had those thoughts about you and mentioned Nat King Cole, and that really does sound like something he might have played. And oh, what a great tune.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
It's been awesome to have you here. It's been great to sit down with you here and have this private concert and hear about all your travels and adventures. Our listeners can find out more about you online at johnnyrogers.com.
Yes, absolutely. It's Rogers with a D.
Right, so Johnny's Johnny. Mm-hmm. Rogers, RODGERS.com. Yeah.
Johnny Rogers, like Aaron Rodgers. You know, now that I moved from New York to Nashville to Chicago again, and now I am so happy to be in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and you know, live in a beautiful home, have a gorgeous wife, she has an amazing family. You know, we both have amazing families, but yeah. I'm just so happy that when I come home off the road, you know, there's really something to coming home to a peaceful, beautiful town in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to change the title of Home to Mendocino. To
Home to Waukesha doesn't quite sing as well.
Doesn't roll.
But yeah. I'll tell you what, yeah. It's a beautiful place, and you're welcome anytime.
Oh,
we got a nice guest room ready for you, Keith, anytime you want.
Beautiful. We'll set it up.
All right.
Well, thanks again for your time, and let's play one more tune.
Sure.
Yeah, I know you've got one more you said you want to do.
I only know one more.
Okay. Why don't you play us out with that one?
Okay, this is a song that I wrote when I first moved to New York City. And I was in Central Park on the southwest corner of the park. And on the album, Randy Brecker plays on this, and he brings it to a whole another level. The album called Box of Photographs. That one before is from an album called Legends of American Music, Volume 1. This one's from Box of Photographs. I was looking up in the sky and the trees in Central Park, the buildings of New York, and above that, in the clear of the afternoon, the moon. So this is called Midday Moon. In the absence of shadow, where could I hide out from your glow? Like a pearl of reflection, showing me worlds I'll never know. Still it feels so surprising how you enchant me from afar. With your face hypnotizing, heavenly motion from a star. Midday moon, momentary madness, much too soon, you will fade away. Night will fall, innocently tragic. Midday moon, I died.
Make you stay.